This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Most of us know our flaws really well. Ask us to recite a list, and we can do so easily. Mine are these. I'm impatient. I'm incredibly controlling. I like to take naps. I miss deadlines often. I have a temper. I am judgmental. I don't call my parents as often as I should. I never learned grammar. I like to argue, but hate it when people disagree with me. There are more, but I don't want to indulge, so I'll stop. The point is, most of us are pretty hard on ourselves. We aren't as nice, as good-looking, as smart, or as educated, or athletic, or personable, or whatever, as we think we should be. We beat ourselves up because we aren't perfect. So what if we just took the opposite approach and assumed that we were actually perfect? You know, the old story of being created in God's image. What if we stopped being so hard on ourselves and accepted that everything inside of us was there for a reason? All of it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. How would that change us? From One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco, we bring you A Taste of Sex Reality Audio, a podcast featuring the personal stories and perspectives of people engaged in the conscious exploration of connection, sensuality, and relationship. This week's topic, perfection. We'll hear the story of Izzy, an Orthodox Jew who worried that if he claimed his perfection, he might lose his faith. We'll also hear snippets of people arguing for and against their perfection. I'm Judy Silber. Stay tuned. Early one morning in March, 25 students of One Taste loaded vans and cars outside the San Francisco Center and drove across the Golden Gate Bridge, down windy Highway 1 overlooking the Pacific Ocean, and arrived at a house in Stinson Beach where they would spend 5 days on retreat in an intense examination of themselves. As one participant named Izzy said later, much of the retreat, known as the intensive, was spent with the light being shined on their flaws. That was hard. But then came the last day, which was devoted to perfection. It wasn't any easier. To find their way to perfection, each person had to face their worst judgments, shame, and fears about the innermost parts of themselves. This is Izzy explaining the exercise.
So at any given point, three of us were sitting on the couch, and sitting directly across were Nicole.
Who is the instructor.
Yeah, Nicole Dadone, who was the instructor. Chris,
who at the time was a full-time resident of One Taste Immersion Program.
And a third person. I'm trying to remember. Who's it? Not Chopped Liver. It just happened to elude me at this moment. Specific arguments that I got into involved Nicole and Chris. Yeah.
So the idea was that you argued against your perfection, but then when you had a flash of perfection, when you flashed on your own perfection, then you would sit down.
Yeah, exactly. And for some people, it took longer than others. It depended how intensely you felt about it and how many arguments you had. I had three. You know, some people had like 7, 8. I'll preface the whole activity by saying,
so we're going to give you the opportunity to have the argument that you're always having, only having it loud. I'm also going to remind you that nobody can give you your perfection. And nobody can make you right. And nobody can save you. It has to be something you yourself claim.
When did your turn come?
It was somewhere in the middle, I guess. I purposely didn't want to be one of the early people. I wanted to be a spectator for a while and watch other people go through it.
And when you got up, how did you feel?
Well, it was exhilarating just being up there.
What were your arguments against your perfection?
Okay, I had three. The first off is that I don't have my shit together.
I'm too perfect because I don't have it together. For as long as I can remember, other people were always cleaner than I am, knew how to cook. So many like life skills, sometimes feel like I was raised by wolves. No, that's not the case. At least my mom, you know.
Kosher wolf.
It's like administrative things, like allotting time, being organized. I lack that. I have a lot of habits, nasty and otherwise, just like hard to break.
So basically, you're a slob, is what you're saying. Yeah. What was their defense of your perfection?
I want to preface it by saying that the way they argued was rather interesting in that they took it seriously. They didn't just go, well, you're okay the way you are, even with that. They really played devil's advocate to a large degree and tried to find the other side to it, and to find some saving grace to that way of being.
Something that would make it worthwhile for you to have that inside of you.
Yeah.
So for being a slob, what did they say?
Chris knew something about the work I did.
Was it you? Someone was telling me that they were the expert in their field. Oh, was that him?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh.
Yeah. Luckily, in the world, they value more than, you know, being put together. They value people who have their shit together, who could sit behind a screen for 8 hours a day, you know.
So what you're saying is you're a specialist rather than a generalist?
Yeah.
And so all those, like Bach and Beethoven and all the doctors of the world, they're all fucked up?
What they were saying is that, okay, granted, you know, you have sort of like, you know, Renaissance man, jack of all trades, people who are neat, and but then you have some people who are like extremely good at one specific thing to the exclusion of anything else, and the world is just made up that way.
This is actually really interesting.
Yeah.
Instead of needing to be all things, mm-hmm. you can just be this one thing which you happen to be extremely good at. Wow. Yeah, because there's so much pressure to be everything.
Yeah.
So the second one.
I'm imperfect because despite the fact that for the past year I've had great and profound experiences, nevertheless, I think I'm playing a dangerous game because there's a risk that my progeny, my kids, will be completely, you know, not go in the way of my ancestors. And I feel like I'm severing a thousands of years old link, because I'm entering a world I know nothing about, and what I do know about it, I think the stakes might be too high for me. And that's a genuine fear.
I am actually Orthodox Jewish. Until I was in my early 20s, I was in yeshiva studying, and that's not something I was going to turn my back on, and I was afraid that if I really lived out of turn on, and, you know, and did the things that I wanted to, the things that felt healthy, without regard for the tradition I was born into, that I'd leave the faith.
What did Nicole say to that?
And you don't think that thousands of years of your ancestors' truths are strong enough to withstand you exploring for deeper truths?
If any track record of people doing this sort of work, it means anything, possibly not.
This work brought me to your ancestors.
You know, here I was complaining about this notion of following your own intuition and doing what's right.
Oh, rather than that which God commands us?
Yeah, and she's saying, yeah, but that intuition is what brought me to study Judaism to begin with.
So it was her own intuition that brought her to Judaism.
Yeah.
So there was something that drew, there's some parallel there.
She happens to have a point, and there is a place for intuition. And like, I didn't say it to her, I want to be very respectful. Part of me is a little cynical. Because ultimately, I have a lot of friends, many of whom I could not tell them what I was up to during this past year. And the fact that she studied Judaism in earnest, It doesn't make a difference. I couldn't tell them, oh, I'm involved in a sex-positive community, but it's okay because the founder was drawn to our religion and studied it in earnest.
So how did you reconcile that one?
Well, first off, I didn't say that. I did not say that at all because I wanted to be respectful. I told her, yeah, that's true.
I realize that and a lot go in the opposite direction.
A lot go in the opposite direction anyway.
I know. I just don't want to be one of them.
I understand that. But how will you know if you're a true believer if you don't test it?
And she was comforting me and telling me that everything my ancestors stood for, everything that came before, was actually, they were pointing me in this direction. And that really resonated with me. And it's like what she said, you know, logically, can I understand that maybe yes and maybe no? But I intuited it to mean inevitably an unbroken link, thousands of years. I inherited that. And I'm out in the world, and this is where I'm at. And everything that came prior is not at odds with where I'm at. It's not frowning at what I'm doing at this moment, but rather it all brought me to the place that I'm at. And I should respect that.
Did it resolve for you? Or are the arguments still going on, but maybe they're a little quieter?
They're a little quieter, it's a little softer. I guess, yeah, and what's going on now is sort of this notion that really, you know, even if there are absolute truths, being able to hold opposing ideas, you know, in tension to each other, is also absolutely truthful. God loves everyone. And it's also true that we're all inherently divine and we all have unlimited potential. And it's also true, like Nicole said, that the best way to live is to follow your intuition and do what feels right at a given moment.
You've been listening to A Taste of Sex. We'll be back after this short break.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, erotic poetry reading, a companion program to Life in an Orgasm-Based Community. It's open mic night at One Taste San Francisco, a weekly audio program on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to A Taste of Sex. I'm Judy Silber. So the third argument.
I ended up in One Taste, basically, because like when it came to the realm of girls, I didn't know my ass from my elbow. You know, things have gotten better since I got here, but I had to enter this sort of the safe container where I can experiment with stuff, because in the outside world I was clueless, and I just could have gone on for easily another 10-20 years being clueless.
The third is, I kind of feel that had One Taste not existed, like I would have just faded into oblivion. I mean, I so lacked the ability to deal with girls for whatever reason, you know, whatever the factors were that contributed to it, that I, you know.
Okay, so I'm just going to stop you here, and if you want to continue afterward, you can. So, I can tell you that you are extremely flawed with women, and what you are flawed at is very minute, and I can fix it right now. So, if you aren't perfect, we can get you perfect really quickly if this is the only thing blocking it. And that's just that you don't notice how hot they are for you.
How hot they are for me.
And how much they flirt with you.
Mm-hmm. How much they flirt
with you. So then you're just a cruel rejecter who makes a woman feel like a street hoe.
You don't seem alone.
What can I do to be more conscious?
More conscious?
what's going on around it.
You can just say, hey, are you hot for me?
You surprised.
Here, try Whitney.
Yeah.
Here, are you hot for me?
Look pretty hot right now.
Do you remember the moment that you flashed on your perfection?
Yeah, so it was really after the second question.
Do you remember that moment, though?
Yeah, it was after Nicole finished speaking. Yeah, I sort of saw, I sort of got that there were, you know, two sides to any argument. And what Nicole and Chris and the third person on stage, their knack was to, you know, to help people, you know, reframe their experience and see it, you know, from the more positive perspective, you know, which is just as valid as the negative perspective. So why not, you know, why not interpret things positively if you can?
Have you had any easement of the judgment that you have for yourself? Have you noticed any?
A lot of good came from that intensive. Now that I've moved back to my apartment, I clean regularly.
You do?
I mean, like to start yoga. That was a major concept. To have a daily practice that keeps one in their body. Find ways of getting back to one taste, actually, in New York. I once actually hosted people for Shabbos, and they were extremely appreciative. And once things quiet down, I'd like to do it on average once a month, you know, have one taste people over and share a part of me with them, I guess. Yeah, to have a daily practice of appreciating the good, to remember. Yeah, I'll just listen to this audio once you load it. Yeah.
Thanks, Izzy.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure.
Part 2. More arguments for and against perfection. Here are excerpts from other students and Nicole's responses in defense of their perfection.
I still look down on people to make myself feel better.
Okay. I don't think it's to make yourself feel better. I just think it's because they're dumb.
Because they're dumb?
I think, like, there's this idea that we're supposed to have, like, the saintly vision of people when they're being stupid. No, it's just generous to see somebody exactly as they are.
I'm imperfect because I haven't figured out how to have my leader just do her job, just do it. Get all the resistance and my fears and imperfections and out of the way.
Okay, so what you're saying to me is you haven't figured out how to find your fierce leader and transform her into a Stepford wife? Free of all things human? Great leader is somebody who has insecurities and resistances and fucked-upness and keeps going. Otherwise, you got a wimpy leader who can't identify with anybody. I mean, imagine if you were a leader with no resistance, right? And you had all these people who had a ton of resistance, and you were like, huh. Well, don't be resistant. Right? That's not a leader. With somebody who sits right there with you with their own shit and keeps going. Are you perfect?
No.
Why not?
I haven't at all found any kind of right relationship with my taxes, but I'm always doing something wrong and I'm always getting something wrong there.
Uh-huh. So I am perfect.
I'm the same way. So, okay. I'm always judging everyone.
Always? Everyone?
Okay. I am often judging people who aren't willing to step up to a bigger game. And
so you're saying you're an empath and you feel how people feel inside? What? Is your problem? Hello? You think they feel good about themselves? No. So you just see what's there. Big fucking deal.
And then I don't know what to do with that. Like, am I just supposed to be mean and say it all the time? Because people don't like that.
Oh, is that mean? I didn't realize telling the truth was mean. Fuck.
I feel like because I'm so harsh towards other people, I don't have compassion to them. And I don't have love for them.
Now, here I am going to challenge you. Do you really not have love for people? Is the problem really that you don't have love for them? Or that you're afraid about how much love you do have? You have to have a pretty powerful love to be keep it contained in that much judgment.
I feel like I'm really stingy with my love. Really, really stingy.
Maybe you are so incredibly generous that you wait until you're absolutely sure as to how to wield it before you let it out.
I mean, I accept the concept of accepting my humanity, which this is what this exercise is.
Just hurry up and give me the butt.
I show up with low self-esteem in a lot of places, and I let myself down.
And didn't you have, weren't you the dad story?
Oh my God, I don't know.
The race, the running, who was
yeah.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Dawson?
You were.
The athlete. Mm-hmm. Or the baseball guy?
Yeah.
So that guy, do you feel like you bought him really far?
Yes. And I'm ready for more. And I guess it's taken me a long time to forgive myself for holding myself back. And so I feel ready to do that.
I don't understand any imperfection in that. You have this guy who grew up extremely constrained, and then he fought really hard to move out of this, and he lives a life where he's progressively moving further and further out of them. Tell me the imperfection there.
I'm ready.
Thank you for listening to A Taste of Sex. You can find us on the web at onetaste.us. For transcripts of this show, you'll want to go to personallifemedia.com. I'm Judy Silva. Thanks for listening.
I'm also going to remind you that nobody can give you your perfection. Nobody can make you right. Nobody can save you. It has to be something you yourself claim.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.